If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37 is where we're going to begin. And I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we will get started. Father, we thank you for every life in this place this morning. Father, we thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan for every life in here this morning, God. And I thank you, God, that every person, God, would be provoked to live out their purpose this morning, God, that your word never returns void, God. So we thank you that as it goes forth, Lord, that it would fall on hearts that would have a desire to heed to that word, God, and to live it out. And Father, I pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, can I hear you say amen? Amen. The title of this sermon is called The Development of Destiny. And how many of you know that there is something that God is doing in you right now that you may not fully understand and may not fully be aware of, but it is tied to your destiny. And I want you to know that right now, God is in the middle of writing your story. Come on, that's some good news, right? God is in the middle right now. You've already put your story away. You've already put it on the shelf, and God is still writing it. God is still in the middle of doing something. And I don't know if you've ever watched a movie and you've never heard, you know, you didn't hear what everybody was saying about the movie or a show or whatever, and you automatically, as soon as you begin to watch the movie, you've already got the end of the movie figured out. Anybody like that? They try to figure out the movie in the beginning, the end. I am that person. I've got to find out where's this going. I got to have the end figured out, and then I can enjoy the movie. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. You got to know where it's going. But then at the very end, you find out that what I thought it was the whole time had nothing to do with the beginning. I want you to know that that is your story. That so many of us right now, we've already figured out where God is going to take our lives. We've already figured it out, and we've already said, well, this is what you're going to do with my life, and so I'm going to go ahead and just put my life in kind of just in motion. You know, with those things at the airport where you don't have to go, you don't have to walk, you can just sit on them and they move for you? I feel like that's what a lot of people do in their Christian walk, is they just get on that and they just let it lead them instead of, if you walk on the thing, you go twice as fast. Like me, when I'm doing it, I'm like, this is awesome. I covered a mile in like no time. But that's what we do with our lives, is we tend to just stand on that thing and we're like, well, wherever the Lord takes me. But the Lord is saying, how about you take some steps? How about you do something? Because I'm developing your destiny. I hope you're here with me this morning. So Joseph, we're talking about Joseph this morning. And I know for all of us, if you've been in church very long, you've heard this story from Sunday school and youth and high school and college and everywhere. You've heard Joseph's story. Can I share it to you this morning, a little different angle about Joseph's story? I want you to understand, first of all, that you are Joseph. Look at somebody this morning and tell them you are Joseph, that you are Joseph in this story this morning, because we look at everybody else as the Joseph. We look at everybody else as the person who's got favor, who's been granted access, who's been blessed. But how about maybe for you to start looking at the fact that God has anointed you? And in Genesis 37, verse 1, it says, so Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended to his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. He married them for their names, you know that. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to them. But many people would preach and they would say, look, it doesn't matter what God anoints you with, that you're always going to have the haters. That's not where I'm going this morning, because that is a reality, that whatever God puts on you, other people may not understand and may not appreciate, but that's not where I'm going this morning. He says that he gave him this robe. And the interesting thing is, as he goes down, he says, he gave him the robe, his brothers hated him. But in verse 5, it says, one night Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. See, I think you have to be really careful drinking the haterade. Whenever somebody hates you, that you drink it and anticipating thinking that that will get them back. Haterade will do nothing for your heart. It'll do nothing for where God wants to take you. And a lot of times that's what we do is we are like, we see somebody hate us and I'm just going to drink the Haterade and I'm going to get you. And it doesn't ever do anything for us. But that's not where I'm going this morning. A lot of sermons in this. That's why it's been preached for 15,000 times. But this is interesting. It says that Joseph's dad gave him a robe. And then the next thing that happened is Joseph had a dream. Is that an accident? Or was that divine? See, I think what you have to understand is that God puts things on you for a reason, right? What you have to understand is that the robe reveals what you didn't know was in you. That there is something that God wants to put on you so that he can show you what's in you. And you've got to understand this morning, come on, look at somebody and say, there's something more in you than you know. There is something in you that you did not realize is in you. And God, Joseph's father puts this robe on him. And in the moment, he doesn't understand, why did you give me this robe, God? Father, I didn't know that this would be anything significant. But when he puts his head down that night, a dream awakens him and provokes him to maybe think that there's something unique about him. And I want you to know this morning that there is something unique about you. And God, the Father, understand that Joseph's father is our father. You are Joseph. And Joseph has been robed by his father because Joseph's father believes there's something in him. And unless he puts the robe on him, it will not awaken something on the inside of him. And there is something on the inside of you this morning. I don't care if you're 7. I don't care if you're 17. I don't care if you're 27, 37, 47, 57, 77, 87, 97, 107. I don't care how old you are. God, if you are breathing, you've got a robe on you, and God has something on the inside of you. And so many times we can discredit it and we can keep pushing the robe off, and you will never get your dream until you accept the robe that he's put on you. God has put this robe on you and he wants to awaken something on the inside of you. And Joseph, in the midst of having this robe, he can't even enjoy the robe because he's getting hated at. And so many times we can get focused on all the voices that don't agree with the robe. We can allow all these people, but you came from there, you did that, you came from there, I can't believe. And you can allow all of these people to discredit the robe that the Father put on you. Who put it on him? His Father. And if the Father puts it on you, it doesn't matter what everybody else may say about it. You've got to understand that God the Father put a robe on you. Look, the dream followed the robe. It wasn't the robe and then he could understand the robe. The dream didn't come and then he could understand the robe. The robe came to bring confidence to the dream. You've got to understand that what God puts on you is to bring security to the things that he's going to bring out of your mind and in your spirit as you're walking and you're doing life. That there is something on the inside of you. Well, I don't really do ministry. I do plumbing. I do construction. I do nursing. Guess what? There is something on you. There is something on you that whenever you do stuff, there's just a little bit different thing that people sense because there's a dream that the Father has given you. See, God will use what he puts on you to awaken the greatness in you. There is a greatness. Y'all ain't hearing me, because if I was telling you how great you are, you would be like, you would understand that there is greatness on the inside of you. I don't feel great. See, if you allow how you feel to dictate what God thinks about you, you will never, ever do anything for him. We don't know how Joseph feels. He didn't go into his emotional capacity in this moment and said, I don't really feel like having this robe on me. I don't really feel worthy. But what he did know is that the Father felt it necessary to put it on him, and God gave him a dream for the robe. And you've got to get into the place where you can hear God's voice and understand that God marked me for something. He put something on me for a reason. Look, the only approval you need for your future is the Father's. It didn't matter what the brothers said about him. It didn't matter what anybody else was saying about him. The only approval you need is the Father's. I remember when I stepped into ministry and all the other people said, but how are you going to do this? You're too young. Or you don't have any college education. I don't have anything. And I told them, I went to HGU. It's called Holy Ghost University. And that's all you need when you're wanting to walk in the destiny that God has for you. That so many times we try to have this and this. But when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that's all you need to live out the dream that God has for you. Amen. That we look for so many people to approve us and dab us and say, I knight you this. And I want you to know that when the Holy Spirit throws that robe on you, you've got to know that you have been anointed for such a time as this. You are anointed right now. You have a robe of righteousness on the inside of you, and God is calling you to action this morning. See, not everyone will accept or validate your destiny. Not everybody that you're going to meet is going to say, hey, I want to validate you. I want to tell you, that robe that he put on you, yep, I agree with that. You're going to have people that don't fully grasp and understand the magnitude of your destiny. They're not going to understand what God is calling you into, and they're not going to be able to fully grasp what God has given you the dream for. That's why God gave you the dream and not them. That's why God will put the dream on the inside of you and not them, because you have to be reminded on a daily basis of what you woke up to. And I thought, I don't know what's happening, but I want you to understand that the dream isn't always what it seems to be. See, Joseph had this dream where he was going to be this person of, I don't even know what the word you would say, but this elite person, and all these other people would bow before him. But see, there's some things that needed to be explained to Joseph, and we'll get into that in a minute. But how many of you know that we think that when we get a dream that everything is smooth and easy? How many of you know that destiny, to get to your destiny, it's never going to be smooth and easy, or it is not a destiny? I mean, even on vacation, we have flats and we have issues and we run out of gas. I mean, we got to go to the convenience store. I mean, even going on vacation, we have issues, and we think that our destiny is supposed to be smooth. And that's the problem, is so many of us sign up, well, he gave me the robe, so that means he disfavored my journey. No, he favored your destiny, but on the way, you still got to go through some stuff to get there. That there is something that you're going to have to get through to get to the place that God is calling you. See, the same thing that marks you with distinction marks you for destruction. See, the same thing that God marked him with distinction and he put a robe on him, his brother said, hold up, we got to take care of this problem. And that at the end, the moment that the robe is put on you, you've been marked from the enemy. You've been set up, I got to destroy this destiny, because if this destiny makes it, it touches too many people. So you've got to understand that your destiny is not about you. Look at somebody this morning and tell them, your destiny, it's not about you. And when you understand that, you're willing to do whatever you've got to do to make sure that you fulfill it, because that means there are people tied to you. And you have to understand that if there are people tied to you, that means that the enemy is going to do everything he can to destroy you from being able to fulfill the destiny on the inside of you. That he understands the distinction, and that's why he sets you up for destruction. That's why he sets up things. But I want you to know that this is where we see that the Father is so good, that even in the midst of being set up for destruction, God sets you up in another place of distinction. That God is always a stage ahead of the enemy in your life. It doesn't matter what you've gone through, that the enemy right now is trying to set something up, and God's already set up the answer on the other side. But you can't get to the answer until you go through what you've got to go through to get on the other side. We won't preach that very long, because that one's not very fun. But it's a reality that you've got to sometimes go through something to get into the fulfillment of your destiny. See, all purpose and no problems isn't a reality. If you want purpose, you have to learn to endure problems. If you want destiny, you've got to learn to embrace whatever destruction may try to come against you. The Bible says that weapons may be formed, but they will not prosper. Right? It says this. It also says that your tongue shall condemn it. He puts the responsibility back on us to condemn what the enemy is strategizing against us. That we don't look at it and say, oh man, there comes another one. Here comes, and then we build faith for whatever's coming against us. We need to build faith for what the enemy is trying to come against us with, to speak at it. Say, you're not going to come against me. You're not going to be fulfilled. He goes through all of this stuff. And then, so these brothers that have set up this trap to try to destroy Joseph, they said, hey, look, we really hate him, but now we really hate him. Like, we hated him before he got that robe, but now our hate just went to a whole nother level. You know those people that hate you because they don't understand? They're like, how do you always get through those storms? And how do you always get through that? And they just don't understand how your life is even blessed in the middle of a curse. They hate you for that. And so now he's been given this robe. Oh, and then now he gets a dream. And then he tells those that hate him his dream. You got to be careful who you share your dreams with. We've heard that. But it is a reality. Because other people don't fully understand your dream. And they're not going to embrace it like you will. I mean, you're over there like, I got a dream. And they're like, you got a dream? I'm about to help you, give you a nightmare. Right? Because not everybody understands your dream, and not everybody who understands it appreciates it. So in verse 18, they've heard about this robe. And then so now Joseph, because he is the amazing son that he is, his father tells him, hey, I want you to go take care of your brothers. Go take them some stuff. And he's on his way to see them. And in verse 17, it says this. It says, yes, the man told him, they have moved on from here, but I heard them say, let's go on to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. And it says, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. I was wondering, I was like, how did they recognize him? They recognized him because that boy had his coat on. He had that robe, and he was proud of it. And he was walking, and it's amazing how we can walk in our confidence, and people can see us from a distance and try to scheme up a plan. See, the enemy knows when you're on your purpose and you're on your mission and you're walking in the righteousness that God has for you and you're walking in the fulfillment of God, he sees you from a distance. He recognizes what's on you. You got to understand that the enemy recognizes what's on you. He understands, even though you may not be in the full aspect of walking it out, he knows it's on you. The enemy right now knows, right now he's doing everything he can to distract you, to depress you, to keep you so consumed with everything but your destiny. And this is a story about God developing your destiny. This is a story about God taking Joseph on a journey to help him develop what he created him for. And understand that even though people may see you from a distance and they may not agree and they may not appreciate who you are, there is the fact that you have been given a robe. You have been marked. And it goes on and it says this. It says, as he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer. Right? They said, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Come on, there are always, the enemy is out to consume your dreams. And I sensed that so much as I was doing this sermon, that there are so many people's dreams who've put them in bottles and they've put them on shelves and they've buried them and they've covered them up as if they could do whatever they've got to do to try to forget that they had a dream because of the pain that it costs to fulfill it. But I want you to know it is way more painful to not fulfill your dream than to have to go through the pain to fulfill it. And I know in this moment, it is tough, whatever you're going through, the things that you're struggling in, that these things that you don't have the answers for, that it is difficult in this season. But I want you to know that uncover your dream, take it off the shelf, open up the jar, and believe God for something significant in your life. And he goes on and says this, but when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him. He said, why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. And when they grabbed him and threw it into the cistern, now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. The thing I want to hit on is verse 23. Because I want you to understand that you can be stripped of what's on you, but I want you to know that you can never be stripped of what's in you. That people can take the robe off of you, but they cannot take what's on the inside of you. That they can take it and they can do whatever they want with what the label is and what the thing is, but they cannot take the destiny on the inside of you this morning. That there is something on the inside of you that others cannot take from you because God anointed you for it. And so you've got to go ahead and continue to walk your walk, do the things that God's called you to do. And even though you don't have the robe, the security of the anointing or the security of the label, oh, you don't have a title, that's okay. You still got it on the inside. And you got to do what God's called you to do. See, they can take the rope, but they can't end your story. They cannot end the story because they take what's on you. You've got to know that your story is continuing to be written even when the thing that was bringing security to you is off of you. That there is this robe that sometimes we get so comfortable with. Sometimes I believe that is God blessing you by taking what's on you so that he can show you that it's in you, it wasn't on you. I just put it on you so it would awaken what was in you. And you've got to understand that God will put something on you to put something in you so that you understand that there is a dream, there is a destiny that God has for me, and it is on the inside of me. It is not what I do. It is not what I've been marked with, that there is a destiny bigger than me on the inside of me. Come on, there is something on the inside of you that is bigger than what's been put on you. Look, yeah, that's good. You've got what you've got. You've got what's been put on you, but I want you to know, come on, it's bigger than that. That robe can't contain who you are. That robe was just something to whet the appetite of who you are, to awaken the significance of the destiny on the inside of you. So many times we shrink our destiny down to a robe, and God says, I got to take the robe off so I can show you how big the destiny on the inside of you is. Because this is what we do. We allow what's been put on us to constrict the God that gave it to us. See, the enemy knows you not by what you do, but whose you are. And he thinks that if he can take the robe off of you, that you will forget your father, who your father is. So he says, I will take off what's on you that you've been marked by from your father. So I'll take it from you so that you may forget who you are. But understand, it's not what God puts on you. It's what he put in you that reminds you of who your father is. And this morning, I want you to understand that the Father has marked you from the inside out. He just used the outside to start it, to provoke it. Can you believe who you are when you don't have the robe as security? What's your security this morning? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it your 401k? Is it a relationship? What is it for you that's your security? What is it for you that God wants you to maybe let go of so that you can find another ounce, another level of security? Because see, as long as the robe is what you cling to, you miss out on the whole point of the story. And I believe that we live our lives being stripped of the robe. You may get the robe back, but I want you to know that the robe may be put on you and it may be taken back off of you. And the robe may be put back on you and it may be taken back off of you. And so many of us, that's why we live like this. You ever rode a roller coaster? It'd be real boring if it was just a straight, all right, everybody buckle up. We're going to go from point A to point B. Real boring. I'm not signing up for that. I want the ups, downs, spin me around. Right? That's what I want. If you're going to get on a roller coaster, make it scare me. But that's the problem with our Christian lives is we expect point A to point B, but I want you to know that your life is like a roller coaster. And sometimes you have your robe and sometimes you don't. But that does not define what God thinks of you. Because we think if we lose our robe, then the Father has abandoned us. And he's left us and we're orphans. But I want you to know that sometimes that is the greatest times in my life is when the robe was off of me and I ran to the Father and I found out he was there even when the robe wasn't. And I want you to know this morning, this story is about a boy who got a robe and lost it and gained it and lost it and gained it. And the only thing that in that process that was consistent was his destiny was being developed. And I want you to know that your life right now, it may be this and that and this and that, but I want you to know this morning that your destiny is being developed. See, favor still follows you when others are saying something different about your condition. In verse 31, see, people can lie. People can say whatever you want. I've lived the life. I've been in ministry for too long, and I've heard too many stories about different things that to learn that, look, what people say about you isn't the reality of who you are. And in verse 31, it says this, then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message, look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? See, people will lie about the condition and they will say, you're dead. You don't have a, you are finished. It doesn't matter. And you can allow the voices of those who've lied about the condition of who you are to set the stage for the rest of your life. Or you can say, you know what? That robe just, it woke up in me what was in me. See, don't let circumstances you face change the dream within you. See, in that moment, he's sitting in a pit, and it could have been so easily, he could have just been like, well, I'm just going to let this dream go. Well, I totally missed this dream, Lord. That was not what I thought it was going to be. And in this moment, this is where you and I, this is where everything for us shifts. Is in this moment that when we're in the middle of a pit and we don't understand why we're here, we didn't do anything to get us here, but we're here. But understand, this is a point of your development in the destiny that God has for you. Is the Lord wants to know, will you continue to contend for your destiny? You're in the pit. Everybody's saying something about you. Your robe is gone. But the dream is still on the inside of you. And you say, I'm going to fight for what God has marked me for. I'm going to fight and I'm going to contend for whatever it is on the inside of me. That is what motivates me. That is what drives me. When I wake up in the morning, I'm reminded of the dream on the inside of me. That when I was 17 years old, God gave me a dream. When I was 12 years old, God gave me a dream. When I was 27, God gave me a dream. And let that dream be what drives you. Don't allow circumstances and situations to set the tone for what's in you. So now he's been abducted by slave or by Egyptian people, and they've taken him in as a slave. And of course, he gets favor because that's what people with robes get. That even in the midst of trials, and even in the midst of being put in pits, and even in the midst of things that you've been stripped of, God continues to put you in a place of favor because that's what God does with his sons and daughters. That it doesn't matter what you have to go through, that God will always allow you to rise up to the surface. That he will always put favor on you and you will always go through something, but he will always bring you back up. You go through something, he will always bring you back up. This is the story of you and my, our life. This is us. This is our story. That God is writing right now, even in the middle of our lives, in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our situations, the things that we don't understand, the things that we didn't think would go the way that they went. God right now is in the middle of writing your story. And in verse 39, I want to pick up in verse 12. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 10. And it says this, this is Potiphar's wife. It says she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and she grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. I love this. And when she saw that she was holding the cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind him." Man. Isn't it interesting? Here he is with another robe. Somebody else is holding it. His father, the beginning, holding a robe, he's given it to him. His brothers holding the robe, he leaves it. He gets another thing, robe, leaves it. Do you see the pattern? Do you see what God is trying to tell you? Do you see yourself in the story? This is the point. Don't let who holds the robe define your destiny. Don't let who holds the robe define who God says you are. Because if, whether it's the father or it's the son or if it's Potiphar's wife, so many times we allow who has the power of the robe to determine the power of our destiny. And God says, "I want you to know that I gave you the robe at the beginning. I didn't care if you ever lost it after that. I did that to wake up something on the inside of you, and you could never have the robe again, but there was something on the inside of you that you have to understand. You've been marked from the beginning." See, favor isn't removed because the wrong person has possession of your robe. Favor doesn't leave you because someone that doesn't agree with you and someone that's trying to set you up doesn't mean that you've lost your favor. Because really all this did was put him in another level of favor. Even though it didn't look like favor in the moment, it was a greater level of access that he did not have before. Because I want you to understand that it's not about who holds the robe. It's about when the Father has anointed you, he always makes a way for you. He always is walking in the front of you, providing a way of escape. See, sometimes you have to leave your external markings. Sometimes you have to just walk away from what others may mark you with for God to reveal what he says about you. See, what's on the inside will outlive what's on the outside. Because so many of us have different stories this morning. And this story, like when we started, we thought it was going to be very different in the middle and in the end. But I want you to understand, your end isn't even close. God is still in the middle of writing your story. You may be in the pit. You may be on the way to the palace. Here's the point, is that it doesn't matter if you're in the pit or the palace. Who are you dependent on? Is it the robe or is it the one who provided the robe? And I want you to understand this morning that your destiny is bigger than what you're going through. See, if your heart is robed, that's all that matters. If you've allowed your heart to be robed with who the Father says you are, it doesn't matter the circumstance or the situation you have to face. And here's the end. That robe was never about Joseph. The thing that God put in Joseph was always about his family. So many times we think what God has put on us is for us, but God was putting favor on him for his family, for those that were going to follow. At the end of this story, that's what happens, is the brothers that threw him in the pit gained favor because he was willing to endure through whatever God took him through and they gained favor because of him. And I just wonder what it means, what is it like for you if you have to bless those who've taken the robe from you? It's a whole nother sermon, but this is what this is about. Is can you bless those who've cursed you? Can you bless those who've hurt you? Can you bless those who didn't believe in you? Can you bless those who set you up for failure? You can when you understand that the only reason you're where you're at is because of the Father. This morning, if you would stand with me this morning, God is not done with you. You've been marked with a robe. And the reality is yeah, you may have to go through some stuff, but what's in you is way, way more valuable than all the stuff on the outside. I sense this morning as we close, there are some people this morning that you need to be remarked. There's some dreams that God's going to reveal. There are some things that God's going to awaken on the inside of you this morning. Maybe already as we were going through this sermon that the Lord may have begun to speak some things to you this morning. If that's you this morning, I want you just to stretch your hand towards heaven real quick. I just want to pray with you. Thank you for those hands all over. Just lift them up. Keep them up boldly. Father, you see every hand raised this morning. And Father, I thank you this morning, God, that just as Joseph received this robe, God, that you would mark your sons and daughters this morning, God, that you would awaken something on the inside of them, God, that would allow them to dream again. And Lord, that that dream would be what drives everything that they do, God. I thank you that you would continue to remind them of the destiny on the inside of them. God, you are developing their destiny right before their eyes, God, that you are doing something significant right now, God. I thank you, Jesus, right now that your anointing would fall on people this morning, that your spirit would awaken the destiny and the purpose on the inside of them. God, give them the strength to endure the pit. God, give them the humility to embrace it when they're in the palace. God, I thank you, God, that you would give them whatever it is for whatever season they're in. And we declare that in Jesus' name this morning. Come on, can we give Jesus a hand for that this morning? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Come on, if you're in here this morning, you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to step into the destiny that God created you for. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you've never lived this life out. But God says this morning, it's time. It's time to come. And you want to recommit your life to him. And you say, that's me. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. If that's you this morning, I want you just to slip your hand up real quick. Come on, thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you for that hand. Come on, anybody else this morning? Come on, if you would, pray this prayer with me this morning. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again on the third day for my sin. So I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior. Father, I thank you for awakening the destiny on the inside of me. I will live my life to fulfill the destiny that you created me for. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we give them a hand this morning? Come on. I want you to know this morning, if you raise your hand, we've got a book for you to help you walk out your journey with Jesus. Amen.